ourselves a disservice by waiting. By waiting until life just gets unbearable before we go to God and His Word. Has anybody learned that lesson? Any time in life? Has one person in the whole church, one person has learned the lesson that, you know what, let me just go to God first. I remember clearly a number of different situations when I just couldn't find the answer, no matter what we tried to do, no matter where we tried to go, whose advice or direction or counsel we sought. I never really got that supernatural peace, knowing that I was doing the right thing, that I was thinking the right thing, that I was believing the right thing. Has anybody in here ever been so disturbed by what you thought you believed about God for a certain amount of time, and then someone or something challenges that belief? Has anybody ever been in that position? Lynn, it is grueling. I mean, your world, your stomach, I mean, your heart, your spirit is just, it's flipped upside down. And I know upside down apple pies and stuff taste pretty good, but when what you believed is upside down, it really shakes you up. Brandy and I, we have been serving in ministry for quite a while, and we got connected. We have been called to be the youth pastors at this specific church plant. They were meeting in a hotel room, had about 200 people. And that church ended up growing and blowing up to over 800 people as soon as we got out of the hotel room and bought a storefront property. And they had a lead pastor and an associate pastor. And I really grew fond of that associate pastor. I felt like he had been through enough things in his life, and he was a man of the word. One reason why I admire not only he and their family, they had been devout Christians, but even serving in ministry, they had, I think, 6 or 7 children total. And while the wife was pregnant, either for the last child or had just recently given birth to their last child, she was spending time with her kids, and they got a lot of property, and they were riding and riding a go-kart. And her hair, the mother's hair, the wife's hair, somehow flew and got hung up and caught the clutch and the gear of the go-kart, and it snapped her neck. It broke her neck right there in the front of the kids. And this woman was paralyzed from the waist down, and 6 or 7 children to raise. And, it was, can we say a challenge? Can we say a reason to cuss and curse God? And so you have someone that has been through that, and yet still willingly and joyfully serve God. You know what I'm saying? I had a few things I could learn from this guy. I had a few things I could learn from this family. And we spent quite a good bit of time with them. Their children were involved in worship. I was in the worship team. I think I played the drums at the time, or bass, whatever the case is. So we practiced at their house upstairs. And what I'm getting at, guys, is Brandy and I were at a place where Naomi was 5 years old. Brandy was ready to get started in a career and figure out, hey, God, what is it you have for me? I love being, Damon's counterpart and his blessing and his wife and his assistant and his help. But guess what? She's like, I want to figure out what I need to do with my life. And she was pursuing college. And we knew that that's where God had told us to go. She was going to go to college and go to school for ultrasound. And anyway, got to talk and spending some time with this pastor, this associate pastor. And I mentioned that my wife was going to college and she'll be graduating soon. And he said, what's she going to college for? And I told her, well, she plans on getting a job. I said, well, that's kind of the hopes, is that she gets a job. And this pastor really said some things. They cut me like to the bone. I don't mean just like a little skin surface cut that you can put a little Band-Aid on. But it really didn't leave my mind for a minute. And he just said, man, you're out of order. Your wife is supposed to be a helpmate, and she's not to seek a profession or a job anywhere else. And he just started popping off these certain scriptures. And I'm like, man, forgive me for just screwing up my whole life, you know? Forgive me. So I went home to Brandy, and I'm like, baby, we need to talk. Like, you know, and I was just, my world was flipped upside down because I was behind her. I believe God had a plan for my wife and for us. And you know what? I called my spiritual counselor, Pastor Jeff, and I discussed some things with him, and I still didn't get that peace that I had before this guy opened his mouth. Does that make sense? I still couldn't get to that place. And then for like a week later, 2 weeks later, I'm like, God, are we really that disobedient? Like, are we really missing you that much that I'm listening to two pastors that I trust, and yet I still don't feel the same amount of peace that I felt before he opened his mouth? I just couldn't get to that place. And the second pastor I counseled, he said, Damon, just start searching through his word. He will tell you. I'm like, dude, I read through the Bible. It don't say anything about my wife going to college. It don't say anything about my wife getting a J-O-B. Like, really? Is that like the cover for everything? Hey, just go to the Bible. The answers are in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I was a pastor, and I'm like, man, this stinks. And guess what? Because I needed an answer. Because I needed clarity, I need clarification, I need to know, God, what is it you have? Are we being out of your will? And he brought to me, this is like, I don't know, 14 years ago, and he brought me to the scripture in the Old Testament where it talks about the value of a wife, and it talked about how she is a businesswoman, how she'll go out and buy certain things, and then she'll sell them later, and she's a realtor. She even bought property and flipped it. I was like, wow, she bought goods, and then, you know, she sold them. I'm like, Brandy, what do you know about real estate, you know, because this biblical, you know. Ultrasound's not biblical, you know. But you know what? Right when we begin to read those scriptures and we begin to just go through them and pray, we felt that same peace that we had way back when we felt God told her that's what she was to do. Peace, supernatural peace, is a confirmation. But what was your GPA in college? It was up there. Don't be embarrassed. She graduated highest in her class or second, and 4.0, yeah, I never touched that stuff. I mean, I would do all I could to touch a 2.0, you know? But, I mean, she just flew through college, did a great job. I mean, she was the best in her ultrasound class, and just you name it. I'm like, see, that was God. He worked it all out. What I'm getting at, guys, is we can seek godly counsel. We can seek direction or advice from many, many different people, even pastors. But guess what? All of us have the ability to taint the Word of God. Does that make sense? This pastor, because of his hardcore beliefs and his convictions, tried to project that into my home, which he has the right to do that as my spiritual pastor at the time. Make sense? But it is still my duty, just like it is your duty, to go to God's Word first, and make sure that God is telling you whatever it is you believe he has already shown you. Amen? So what we're doing, we're starting a new message series titled, Get the Word Out. Get the Word Out. Tell your neighbor, get the Word Out. What is the Word? What is the Word? Get the Word Out. Listen, guys, what I have felt convicted about the last couple of months, and I feel God has laid this on my heart, is that, you know what? We enjoy being a part of the local church. We enjoy attending. We enjoy serving here. But there's something much more powerful than that, and that is having God's Word in us. Okay? Some of the growth spurts that I had in my spiritual walk have been those times where I just dove into God's Word. You know, I didn't read quantity, but I read quality. I wanted stuff that I could really put inside of me. And the more that I put in me, I shared this a couple weeks ago, like our life is like an ice tray, an old school ice tray, right? There's only so many squares. So our life, there's only so many things that we can put into our lives. And if you want more of God, it is going to take getting something out and making room. So that time in the evening, you know, between 7 and 10, whatever the case is, you know, for those of you, that'll be a time to take something out of your life so that you can put God's word in your life. If it's at 5 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, that's an opportunity to take sleep out of your life, okay, so that you can put in God's word. I promise you, you will not feel like you've made the wrong choice. So what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks, we are going to learn God's word. Man, the excitement has got me. I'm ready to jump pews. Mike, how did that feel going from pew to pew? That response I just got, I'm ready to go from the first to the fifth row. It may hurt. It may hurt you guys laughing so hard. Okay. We're going to learn God's word. Is that exciting? Yeah, thank y'all. That's good. To God be the glory. First scripture, we're going to learn. We're going to memorize this scripture, not by today, maybe by next Sunday or the following. It's found in Hebrews 4:12. Okay, whenever you believe this, whenever you live by this, you will begin to depend on the word of God rather than depend on emotions. You will learn how to depend on God's word rather than depending on the words of men or women. Okay, the word says right, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is, depending on what translation you choose to memorize, I'm kind of messed up because I memorized another version years ago and I memorized this one for the sake of being connected with you guys, but for the word of God is living and active. This one says alive and active, okay? Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active. Or active and alive, however you want to memorize. You work with best. Okay, for the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. That's pretty sharp. Like I have felt a lot of blades, whether it be a straight razor or a scalpel or a razor blade or a chainsaw blade. I mean, I've just felt a few of them, and they all hurt. So why would God choose to have put in his word that the word of God is active and alive? I like that. That's good. Yes, I can feel it. It's alive. It's moving, you know. But then it goes on. It's sharper. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It's like, wait up. That was a typo. That got like, you know how you copy and paste certain things in Word and like you read it later. Like, how in the world did they get there? That's kind of what this is. Like, how did this get here? You will understand it. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates. It got you. That's when it got me. When it penetrated. It penetrated. It penetrated my heart. It says it penetrates even to the asunder, or even to dividing soul and spirit. You'll learn a lot about that. When you say, oh, he's my soulmate. You know, or I feel so excited in my soul. There's a difference between soul and spirit. And the word of God is the one that can just... And you can divide between soul and spirit. The Bible says that the Word of God can also divide between joints and marrow. That's a good surgeon. That's a very sharp, precise tool, okay? I'm not a surgeon, but I watch it on TV. I've had a few surgeries myself. And guess what? Some hurt more than the others. Was it a dull blade? Or is it the lack of anesthetic? I don't know, you know? But the Word of God can hurt sometimes. Oh, wow, this is pretty cool. Scalloping season. I think it was our first day we were going to go out there, and I had offered someone to use my John boat, and so we took both boats. We were going to take both boats out there, and I woke up at 4 that morning getting ready, and I go to grab a milk crate full of, like, fishing gear out of my boat, and when I pick it up, I feel this nice, sharp feeling. And it's a treble hook. Pass the barb into one of these fingers. I don't remember exactly which one. Pass the barb, like in there. And it's like 5 in the morning. No need for coffee anymore. So I go in the house. I'm like looking at it like, all right, dude, you just don't even know. You fixed to mess up my day. How are we going to do this? So I get some pliers, and I try and just cut it and break it in half and... the pliers are dull, you know, and you just can't cut a treble hook. And then I go, and Brandy's waking up because we're all going scalloping. And she gets up, and I meet her in the bed. I'm like, baby, can you pull this out? She's like, no. She comes up, and she's like, I got to lay down. I'm like, okay, well, I'll meet you in the bed. You lay down and still get it out. She's like, I'm serious. I'm going to have to take you to the hospital. I'm like, no, it's scalloping day. You don't understand. Like, we're going scalloping. So I'm trying to figure out how to get this thing out. So I YouTube, and you wrap the string around it, and then you got one, two, and you pull on three. You don't tell yourself three. You just pull on three. And I tried that. It always works better on the screen. Have you guys done that? It always sounds like, jippity crickets. I mean, it didn't work. Plan B. Then I said, wow, on top of my refrigerator is like a window scraper with a little straight razor. I'm like, What I'm getting at, guys, is I had to sit there and delicately yet precisely rub the edge of that razor blade. And some of y'all getting grossed out, you're passed out, just lift up your hand. We'll help you out. Okay, close your eyes. And I just kept just precisely just riding along the top of that hook. And I'd feel the barb, and I'd feel the pain. And I'd feel the barb, and I'd feel the pain. But when I felt like the skin got cut through around the barb, over the barb, I'm like, all right, the test of my surgical precision. And I pulled on it, and it came out. I'm like, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bandaged it up, we loaded it up, and went scalloping, and had a great day. Limited out. It was great. But what I'm getting at, guys, is never did a razor blade feel so good. Right? God's word is double-edged sword. It cuts going in, and it cuts going out. It hurts going in, but guess what? It feels good coming out. It felt good for that hook to get out of me. And guys, the same way with God's word, it may hurt coming in. There may be some things that the Bible says that you don't agree with, your heritage doesn't agree with, the way you were raised and your mindsets and your beliefs don't agree with. But you just let God get in where he wants to get in so that when it comes out, it'll actually feel like a relief. Does that make sense? I know this sounds crazy, but there's times when you get a chance to share God's word with someone that they needed to hear, but you were scared to say it. It needed to come out. It felt good to come out because, you see, our words don't really carry much power, although we can destroy someone with our tongue. You see, the word of God has power to change someone's destiny, to change their eternal destination. The word of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? All of you guys are feeling weary now, just kind of, we.
In my defense.
Uh-oh. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't finish the story. Brandy had a yep, and it was her birthday, and she stayed home all alone, just that peace and serene. I was texting her nonstop, make sure she was okay, but she was sick. She was sick. See, I like, you know, Brandy, you gotta stick to the script, baby. No, she's not weak. This is the best splinter puller in all of Alachua County. Well, at least in Louisiana. She can pull some splinters out quick. But as you get older and you've been married a while, she likes to just really. It just may be me. It may be me. I may be sensitive, you know, but I just feel like she goes really. You want it out, right? How many husbands you like, I'll pull it out myself. Come on, amen. She is really good at it. Her dad was a carpenter, and she's pulled plenty of splinters out. So, anyway, let me get back to the word, because y'all laughing too much, and y'all going to have a good time and stuff. But talking about the word of God, okay, it divides even to soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Then it says right here that it judges the thoughts and intents, or it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And guys, that's where many people, like myself at times, have chosen to just avoid God's word in a specific topic or a specific area or room of my life. Because when our motives are a certain way, God's word says that it will pierce into that area and it'll begin to separate it, okay? When our motives are wrong, we don't want to hear God's word. Why? Because it's very convincing that our motives are wrong. It's very clear. So let me just stay away from the word. Let me just stay busy. Let me just ignore stuff. Hey, let me just sleep in Sunday morning. Let me go do this. Let me go do that. Let me not go to small group. Let me not go to Bible study. Because why? If his word gets in the areas of our lives that we really don't want it in, guess what? it changes things, and we don't want to change. We don't have to face the truth. We don't have to face the facts, so we just avoid it altogether. There's nothing more powerful than God's word. If you look at philosophy, with philosophy, there's still unending questions. You still can see gaps and fails in its comparison to the power of God's word. You look at science, and science is extremely, extremely convincing. Extremely convincing. But yet, you know what? Its concepts are still fundamental in comparison to the power and the miraculous power, word of God. Think about this, guys. If you take all the prominent speakers, all the well-known people that can just really change things in a society, in a country, in a world, they still hold nothing compared to the power, the influence, instantly, that God's word possesses. There's no group, there's no individual that carries as much authority as God's word. You know, God's word has the power to change lives. God's word has the power to lift up a downward head, someone who is going through a hard time. God's word can change it like this. It can soothe us in our moments of desperation and misery. His word instructs us how to live righteously. How many of you live for a number of years just wanting to be a good person? Like you really strived. You wanted to do what you interpreted as something that was good, something that was godly, something that was holy. And you failed like time and time and time and time again. That was me. Just kept on doing the same thing. I hated myself. I got to where I hated what I liked because it would just still own me. But it wasn't until I began to use God's word in those areas that I began to get some strength, some deliverance. I begin to live a righteous life. His word tells us that we're living unrighteously. He clearly gives us that. There are no words spoken or written that have the same effect of God's word. If you really think about it, I was just some lost, aimless sinner, 18-year-old boy. I had already figured out what I wanted and what I didn't want. But just ink on a paper changed my entire life. Maybe y'all don't think as simple as me. I'm like, how can a chubby man get up there and preach loudly some stuff that he's reading out of a book, and yet my whole world changes? Like my desires, my wants, the way I view, everything just shifts because this person is up there preaching hellfire and brimstone, and Jesus loves you and he forgives you. As white as snow, as far as the east is from the west, you're going to hell if you don't. How can just words change my life? I don't think it was the person. I don't even think it was the delivery. I think it was the word of God. I think it was the power of God to reveal the life that I was living and what options were still there for me to still make that choice. The word of God is not some fabricated fairy tale. I've gotten to so many arguments in past years about that. Man, the Bible, that's just fairy tale. That's a joke, man. How can this happen? How can that happen? How can this happen? I'm like, tell me what you've done to change millions of lives with your theory, your philosophy, your book. No answer. Well, then something's got to be real with this. Is it really a fairy tale? Because you know what? The things that have already happened in my life and the lives that I know here, it's inexplainable. Do you live in a fairy tale? No. This is L-I-F-E, right? This is life. And the way God has shown himself in miracles and signs and wonders, it's not a fairy tale. It's the God life. Because we trust God's word. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word never passes away. Fairy tales pass away. No matter how much you love Beauty and the Beast, guess what? It's not real. It's not.
Well, Damon, I feel the same way about the Bible.
No problem. If I don't believe the Beauty and Beast is not real, I'm not really going to lose out a lot. You know what I mean? But for those people who decide that I'm not going to believe God's word is the truth, you may not see a loss now, but there will be a loss. Unfortunately, there will be a loss. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, yet my word still remains. Not only is God's word alive, but it's powerful. You know what's so crazy is you can get the most amped up computer, laptop, touchpad, phone, quad core, you know, octa-core, you know, all the 35 gigabytes of RAM ready to just smoke it fast, right? Right? And you can spend your income tax money on it. You can spend your husband's check on it, whatever. Your kids will be eating Fruit Loops for 3 weeks because you wanted the best touchpad. Guess what happens in exactly 35 minutes? Something better just came out. Something better is already made. Something better is renewed. Oh, that $1,200 laptop or that $600 touchpad, you got to bring it in for updates. You need to get online and update it because it's old. It just came out last week, but it's already old. Does that make sense? There's something different about God's word. I've never got a letter in the mail that said, you need to pay such and such and get a discounted price for an update on God's word. Never. The system you're running is way too old. It won't be able to keep up with the demands of life. I've never had that. The interest rates are at an all-time low. I never get all that. Why? Because God's word is always consistent. Isn't it crazy when your own mortgage company is calling you every week to tell you that the property values of your house has gone up and you may be able to get money out on, you know, on the equity of your home? I'm like, I live in a double-wide mobile home, 1998 model. There's no equity. Read the stinking file, dude. There's no concrete slab underneath my house. You guys feel me? Just trying to get more money out of me. Just look at, read the file. Equity. I'm happy. I'm grateful. I love where we live. Love what we got. Quit calling me. I wish, oh Lord Jesus, I wish myself and other Christians would be as persistent as salesmen. What if your shopping experiences and the opportunities to go shopping or your hunting experiences or your hobby experiences depended upon how many people you led to the Lord? How often you could go eat out depended on how many people you led to the Lord. I've never thought about it that way. Welcome to my world. Doesn't that make sense? Like the things we do for a living don't necessarily depend on whether or not we witness to people or we tell people about the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the eternal love. No, it doesn't really depend on it. We have activity, we have a process and a skill that we can do, and we trust in that. But let's just say if the tables just moved around. Because that's our real purpose, is to share God's love and to show God's love and to explain, to teach and preach His word. Amen? God's word doesn't need, it never becomes obsolete. It doesn't need an update. You know, God's word to help you from being promiscuous. God's word to help you from being manipulative. God's word will help you a lot dealing with backbiting, murmuring, cheating, gossiping. I could just go on for like years, right? God's word helps us. It makes us immune to that. You know, some things that used to just really encompass us, and that's where we found value in ourselves, whatever type of lifestyle we participated in. When God's word gets inside of you, not only does He cause you and give you the ability to walk away from that, but quickly, He puts this distastefulness in. It's not even appetizing anymore. What used to just cause you to be obsessed about, it's so distasteful. It's disgusting. Why? Because God's word came in and began to shift and things change things around. Then you feel for the people that you used to just live by, live with, need, have a necessity to be with this person. And you realize that there was just a toxic relationship. Why are we talking about this today? Because Hebrews 4:12 says what? The word of God is alive and active. Come on, you guys got to say it. The word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, right? 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 It penetrates even to dividing what? Soul and spirit, joint and... It judges the what? It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Guys, we need to get the word out. If not me, then who will? I want you to say that. Just let that roll off your tongue. I need to get the word out. If not me, then who will? If not me, then who will? As a child of God, we are responsible for not just being hearers of God's word, but to be doers. And I remember hearing that scripture for the very first time, and it was kind of brought to me in a very condescending or condemning manner. It may have been just the way the Holy Spirit chose me to hear it that day. But guys, hearing God's word is one thing. There are billions of people that sit in chairs or pews every Sunday, every Saturday, every Wednesday. But James says, don't just hear it. Don't just listen to it, but begin to work it out. Begin to obey it. Obey the word. Don't just listen to it. James 1:22, that's what it says. Be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. Guys, it is imperative that we spend time in his word. I'm not going to give you an amount of time, just like I don't tell you how often to eat. I don't tell you when to eat. I don't tell you how much to eat and the quantities which thereof that you are supposed to eat at specific times. I don't separate the difference between carbs and proteins and sugars. I don't know. Why? You eat them whenever you what? You eat them when you're hungry. You eat them when you're bored. You eat them when you're depressed. You eat them when you're stressed out. Am I touching? We're there, right? That's when I eat. You let me get stressed out, see what I buy at the gas station. Red Bull and a fast break. That's it. That's the recipe right there. It will fix you up for about 32 minutes. Anybody that's close to me, especially a female, whether it be Brandy, Naomi, Wendy, and other people, if they could tell I'm just like Tasmanian fixing to be a devil, they will walk in with a Red Bull and a fast break and a little bit of Jesus, and everything's all good. Amen? But what I'm getting at, I don't tell you what to eat. You eat whenever you're hungry, you're bored, you're depressed, you're stressed. Why not? Why not just take those moments to go to God's word?
It don't taste near as good.
Sugar-free Red Bull is a little challenge, you know, but the Bible says that taste and see that the Lord is good. The Bible says that his name is like honey on my lips. And for those of you who don't like honey, please don't like discredit the tastefulness and the deliciousness of God's word because you don't like honey. Honey really is good. Y'all don't like honey. I'm sorry. Just trying to preach. That's it. But you know, one thing is we never really go to God's word until we're faced with opposition, until we're faced with a crisis. And I think, like I said, I think we're doing ourselves a disservice when we wait until those moments to begin to seek guidance. There's a whole lot of detours you could have avoided before you got to the end of the road. Amen? There's a whole lot of twisted roads you could have avoided and potholes and being just thrown off the highway, stuck up in the trees somewhere trying to figure out what's life. They could all been avoided if we would have just kept up with God's word. Just a little bit of God's word. Don't wait till all hell breaks loose and then we run to God. I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just saying there's a better way if we just daily, weekly, really get some inside of us. There's real power in the word. There's power in God's word to turn a sinner into a saint. Well, Damon, you don't really know me that well. I'm not a saint. I'm not saying I'm a saint. The Bible says I'm a saint. My wife doesn't say I'm a saint. The Bible says I'm a saint. I call my wife and my kids angels, my daughter angel. But are they really angels? Naomi does it sometimes. You know, she's an angel. Right, baby? Poker face. So what I'm getting at, guys, is the word of God is something that can change Damon, who was clearly nothing but a sinner, nothing but a sinner. And the word of God changes and turns Damon into a saint. It's just the word of God that has the power. Power of God's word will take lives that are dismal, and then he'll begin to transform them to a place of being victorious. People who deal with depression, You know, I used to be bound up in that stuff for decades. It would hit me in bouts. I'm talking heavy, heavy, heavy. Until I learned the power of God's word. Listen, if you just open it up and read it on your worst day ever, like you're ready to just call it quits, just open up God's word. Do yourself the favor of just opening it up. And I know a lot of people, I opened it up and it went straight to Job. And it just, I was ready to really give up. No, guys, there's still good things to learn in Job, right? Trust in the Lord. Begin to depend on him in impossible situations. He will allow you to prevail. The power of God's word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, it says in Psalms 119:105. His word is the power that unlocks a hardened heart. I've worked with women and men that had the most hardened, calloused, insensitive hearts. I thought my stepdad was just a hopeless case, but after being in the ministry for 20 years and connecting with all walks of life, there have been some very hardened, walled hearts. And it is amazing that I can sit down in front of the very exact same person a little bit after the word of God penetrated that heart, and they're like a totally different person. Not just for a week. I'm talking years and years and years. Why? Because it's the word of God that can penetrate the most hardened heart. Why? Why am I talking about this, guys? Because Hebrews 4:12 says what? For the word of God is what? Alive and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword, right? It penetrates even to dividing what? Soul and spirit. And it what? Attitudes of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. That's why we're doing this. His word is a bed to rest upon. I have been in some impossible situations, and I literally lay down on the bed with the Bible until I'm empowered, until I'm healed, until I have joy back, until I have peace, until I have direction. I rest in his word. It's better than Sealy Posture Beating. Resting in the word came far, far, far ahead of the memory foam mattress. I'm serious. And we have them, and they're nice, right? But the word of God is even better than that. It is. The word of God is a sure foundation. So when we trust in the words of man, or even a spouse or a loved one, a family member, there's still going to be cavities or voids or bubbles in the foundation that at the right time and the right amount of pressure, the right amount of weight that is upon the person that you trust and you believe in, and they crack, right? Because we're all fallible. God's word is infallible. That's not a right word. You guys get where I'm going. It's not in my script. I forgot. What was the word? Inerrant. Drew was like, I think we got a typo in our growth track. He's like, the word of God is inerrant. He said, I think that's misspelled. I'm like, no, inerrant means that there's no error in the word. It's perfect. It's without blemish. And guess what? That is the truth of God's word. So God's word is comfort whenever we need a rest. It's a sure foundation. It's bread for the hungry, says Matthew 4:4. Luke 4:4 says, for the word of God is what? We shall live by the word of God, not on bread alone, but on every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It brings us comfort to those who are lonely. It brings hope to those who are hopeless. And it brings rest to the weary. That's what God's word does. You know, even though the winds of persecution have blown against God's word, it's still here. Like, how many times have people torn this thing, they've burned it, they've stomped on it, they tried to get rid of it, tried to discredit it, it has all kind of, you know, typos and stuff that line up. Guess what? It's still here. It's still changing lives. Even though the waves of immorality in the church, outside of the church, have lashed out against God's word, guess what? It still remains. Even though the sharp axe of atheists have attacked and tried to hew it down, guess what? It still stands. Those people have passed and gone. Those seasons have passed and gone, and yet God's word is still changing lives today. But let me tell you why I am thankful for God's word. Why are you thankful for God's word? I'm thankful for God's word because it says in John 1, verse 1, it says that in the beginning was the word. So the word was before was even a word. Does that make sense? Like in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. Well, that means somebody had to write it if the word was with God, right? If the word was with, it had to pre-exist, it had to be there before there was a God, but then the scripture's not finished. Then it says, the word was God. People are asking God, who shall I say sent me? Just say, I am. Right? I am. God's like, I am. That's who I am. I'm the word. I'm everything. A lot of people get upset about that. But he is who he is. We're not just simply reading black and white, red and white on paper, but we're reading the breath of God, the life-giving power right here. God's word equals God's promises. Different translations you will find where it says God's word. The same verse will say God's promises. Remember, just a few weeks ago, I talked about, wow, what if our last seven statements held as much weight as Jesus's did, right? What if the words that we spoke had the weight and value and dependency or dependability as a promise would? Because that's what God's word is. It's not just words, but it's promises. Things that you can trust, things that you can be assured by, things that you can believe in. Psalm 119:65, I'm going to be sharing some scriptures. Do good to your servant according to your word. See, if you don't know God's word, at least just a little bit, then if you know this much, you can remind God, God, I know this much, and I'm trusting in this much. And that's when you read through Psalms, you'll see that he's basically just repeating, sharing what God has already put in him and reminding God. But all he's doing is reminding himself of the promises that God has already made him. Do good to your servant according to your word, Lord. And you can read another scripture that says, Lord, you have dealt with your servant. You've worked with your servant. You've put up with your servant. O Lord, according to your word, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your will. Have you ever found yourself trying to convince God something rather than trying to gain understanding from him? But God, you just don't know. Like, you're not, like, I don't see you. You're not dealing with the same stuff I'm dealing with. Let me tell you how it's really going down right now, G-O-D, right? No. The word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's powerful enough to help us in every situation we face in life. In order to experience the dynamics of God's word, we have to keep studying it. You have to keep reading. You have to keep meditating on it. Amen? Make it your daily bread. Make it your daily bread. So I'm going to give you seven quick things, okay? These are just circumstances that we may go through in life that no matter what these circumstances are, we can still understand, see, experience, and learn that God's word is sufficient for these life circumstances. The first one is whenever we need salvation. Well, Damon, I don't really know much about salvation. I never heard the word salvation. They said Salvation Army and the little ringing bell in the front of all the stores that make you feel guilty because you're walking out with $700 worth of stuff, but you won't drop off 70 cents. Ding, ling, 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 ling. That's all I knew about salvation because I wasn't raised in church. I wasn't raised in Christianity. We all need salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is being delivered from sin, being preserved. Well, I'm a sinner. How can I be delivered from something that I've always been? Well, because God has a different plan for me. I didn't have to live those 18 years, those 19 years in that life. I didn't have to because God had a different plan. So he preserved me. You look at a strawberry, right? It tastes good when you pull it off the ground. But what happens when you just add a little bit of sugar to it and you preserve it? That's what God did to me. I was a nice little rotten strawberry. Way overripe, and God stuck me in a jar with his love and his sweetness, and my wife gets to have me until we leave this planet. He's preserved me, baby. Nay, he's preserved me. You have me forever and ever. How many ladies have been 18 years old and just your dad just really wasn't there anymore? Like he didn't know what he was doing anymore, right? He didn't know how to love you and talk your language. And my daughter's telling me now the words I use. Daddy, you're not supposed to say that. You're 41. That's a young person word, like savage. The word savage. Any old people with gray hair, have you ever heard that word savage before? Raise your hand. Come on, lift your hand. Come on, all you teenagers, look around and see all these old gray people, bald-headed. Say, we know what savage means, right? Come on. There we go. See, we know. God's word came out before savage came out, right? Beast mode. The Bible talks about beasts, right? It's already been there. We need salvation. We need deliverance. But many times we use God's word as a last resort. I'm just going to go to God's word finally. All right, so first thing is we need salvation. Psalms 119:41, let your mercies also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. Salvation is the beginning step that we all have to take in order to have an eternal relationship with God. If you look in the scripture, you'll find where Nicodemus was asking Jesus, hey, how do we get to heaven? Do we re-enter the mother's womb? You know, he's like, no. He said, everyone, verily, verily, it means you better believe me. Like, this is for real. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that unless a man be born again, he will not, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. John 3:3. And that's what really separates. That's people want God. They want a little bit of Jesus. They want a little bit of, you know, the Proverbs and Psalms. And they'll just misquote scripture and it sounds good. And it makes me feel good. But whenever you say that you can't get to heaven unless you go through Jesus, it messes everybody's day up. Because they feel like their options have been just limited to one thing. And I don't know about you, but I feel like we live in a very entitled mentality where when you tell someone that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, they go AWOL, right? Because Walmart doesn't tell me I can only buy Equate brands, right? Right? Publix doesn't tell me I can only buy Publix brand. I won't shop there if I don't have my options. And that's how it is with heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, right? But they don't want to go through Jesus. Well, guess what? You're not going to shop in heaven. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, man cannot enter heaven unless he be born again. Acts 4:12 says, and there is salvation in no other name. There's salvation in no other name except for the one who is given under heaven the name Jesus Christ, that he must be saved. There's no other way. Second thing is when we need personal revival. God's word will restore us. He will bring us back to life. He will give us this consciousness now that we're now aware of God's love is still here waiting on me. He's still available for me. Psalm 119:25 says, my soul clings to the dust. And for those of you who are like, what does that mean, my soul clings to the dust? Does that mean that I'm dead? Does it mean? No, it just means that, you know, we're stuck in this life until we leave here. We're stuck on this earthly life. It also means that I'm at the lowest point of my life. I'm really crying out to you, God. I'm serious. There's nothing more that I can reach out for. Lord, my soul clings to the dust. It says, revive me. Not with Red Bull and Fast Break. Revive me, not with a six-pack of Bud. Revive me, not with natural herbs that grow in the woods illegally. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, revive me according to your word. But he's saying according to your promises. God's word will revive you. Does your marriage suck? Does your job suck? Does your relationship with your family or friends just suck? Do your finances suck? For those of you who are religious, I'm really making you upset saying suck so many times. All that can be fixed by just going to God's word. Going to God's word can't fix my finances. Oh, yes, he can. Going to God's word can't fix my relationship with my husband. He's just a jerk. God's word can. Save a wretch like me. Right? Some of y'all ought to say amen. Y'all didn't last this long just by taking NyQuil and just forgetting about all your problems so you can rest medicine, right? No, you went to God's word and said, honey, you got to change. Right? And you're pointing and the whole time, honey, you got to. honey, you got to change, you know. But we realize whenever we say, you got to change, we need to change too. No matter how bad, me and Brandy getting knocked down, drag out. I'm talking about throwing stuff across like the couch and things. No matter how many faults we see in one another, we still know that, hey, we still personally have some things we should and could and can and will work on. Thank you. The third thing, third circumstance that God's word is going to help us through is when we are confused about life. Oh my goodness. This message couldn't have come at a better time for some folks. Just confused about what kind of life am I going through right now? Psalms 119, 169 says, God, may my cry come before you. Lord, give me understanding according to your word. Help me understand what is going on. So often the perplexity in our lives, in our human lives, is like a plight. I mean, it's just, we can't ever figure it out. Go to God's word. He will give clarity. Why? Because Hebrews 4:12 says what? For the word of God is alive and active, right? Sharper than any double-edged sword, right? It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Joints and marrow. Somebody always getting it. Look, we're going to put a little tally mark on the closet door where I memorize the scripture, right? Joints and marrow. It judges the attitudes and the of the hearts. When we are distressed, guess what? Go to God's word. Psalm 119:76 says, may your unfailing love, may your merciful kindness be for my comfort, Lord. According to your word, according to your promise, let me find comfort in that. Words of peace and consolation come from Scripture and Scripture alone. Guys, the medicine that will eventually pull, I look at God's word as a winch. For those of you who've been around four-wheel drives or off-road vehicles or equipment or whatever the case is, power line trucks, a winch. It may not get you out the hole fast. Unless you're a redneck, you will just floor the vehicle and rip the whole rear end out and just not let the winch do what it was supposed to do. But if you just hook that winch, it may just, you may just get bored. But as long as you're just depending upon God's word, as long as you're going and trusting in God's word, the winch is going to get you out of the situation that you're in. God's word is a winch. It's steady. It's steady. It's not stopping until that clevis, until that shackle, until that hook touches the front of the winch. God's not stopping until you are right up against him. Please don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Trust in God's word. And I don't mean just trust. I mean you got to get it in you so you can get it out. Fifth one is when we lack strength, when we're weak. The scripture says in Psalm 119:28, my soul melts from heaviness. You ever felt that way before? Just so weary, heavy laden, so burdened, you didn't want to get out of bed. You didn't want to get off the couch, the recliner, whatever the case is. Just, man, it's been a long time since I felt that way, but it was horrible, horrible. In that circumstance, when you go to God's word, he'll pull you out. He'll give you strength. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says that, you know, even youth grow tired and weary, young men stumble and fall. You heard that before? But then it goes on to say that those who trust in the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord, says that their strength will be renewed. Their strength will be renewed. Like wings on eagles, they'll mount up. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not fall. They won't faint. Man, life has caused us to fall. Life has caused us to faint. Life has called us to grow very, very weak, but we haven't taken our daily vitamins. The WOG vitamin right here. You can't find this at GNC. You can't find this at the vitamin shop. But the WOG vitamin right here surpasses all you health nuts. Gluten-free, gluten-that, you know, homogenized, pasteurized. This is biblicalized, okay? This will fix you up. It'll get rid of sores. It'll get rid of disturbances. It'll get rid of crazy thoughts, right? It will. Some of y'all got set free by the Word of God. Thank y'all for sharing that with me. Okay, when we feel despondent, when we feel down, depressed, low in spirit, loss of hope, guess what the Word of God does? In Psalm 119, verse 16, Psalm 119, 116, it says, uphold me according to your promise. Hold me up, God, according to your word, that I may live. And do not let me be ashamed of my hope. So many people will walk away from trusting in God's word in case it doesn't work. I don't want to tell my friend to trust in God's word and it not work. I don't want to tell my friend that I'm trusting God for miraculous healing in my physical body, because if it doesn't work, I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm going to be ashamed. What if you would just trust in his God word and God did do the miracle? What if you chose not to and you missed out on the opportunity? What if the woman who had an issue with blood for all these years was worried about going and busting and climbing through all the people just to touch the hem of Jesus' garment? What if she did all that and nothing happened? Nothing would have changed. She's lived with it for all these years. But because she chose to still do the same action but yet apply faith, her outcome was vastly different. Not only was she made well, she was forgiven of her sins. Can I get an amen? I'd much rather be ate up with disease and be forgiven of my sins. If I'm going to touch Jesus' hem, it's so that every little sinful action, every little jacked up thought can be taken away. I'll take a little tendonitis on my elbow, right? I'll take it. If I could just get rid of one sin. If one sin could be out of my life, I'll take it. Amen? Last one, seventh point. When we feel trapped. I'm not going to go off too much on this, but my loved one, my sister, has been in a place of feeling trapped. There's no way out. And I've counseled and seen so many men and women. I'm just trapped. I just can't get out of this situation. I'm just going to have to settle for where I am. I got myself into this mess. I'm just going to be stuck. There's no hope for me anymore. The Bible says right here in Psalm 119, 170, it says, let my supplication, let my request, my prayer come before you, my pleading come before you, Lord. Deliver me according to your word. Deliver me according to your promises. The word of God sets us free. The word of God sets us free from demonically induced thoughts. If you guys would see on screen the thoughts that have come between, I got the nasty goosebumps. It's not even the Holy Ghost goosebumps. The thoughts that came between here and here, you would run. Even before I was saved, I would cry out to God. How did this stuff get in me? How do I think these things? Don't look so holy out there. How do I think these things? Where do they come from? Don't try and figure out where they came from, how they got in you. Just call out to God and read his word and say, take them from me. I don't want to nurse these thoughts anymore. I don't want to carry them and take care of them and make sure they're all fed and taken care of and entertain these thoughts. No, because if you just entertain the thoughts that you have, they're going to feel like they're valued. They're taken care of. And what happens when you give your child attention? They want more, right? What happens when you give your pet dog, puppy attention? They want more. Same thing with demons. You give them some attention. What do they want? Guys, I'm not saying dogs and kids are demons. I'm not saying. Don't put those together. It's just an object lesson, you know. But the Bible says in John 8:36, he uses the word in shall in the old King James Version. Shall. Y'all just say the word shall. Shall. Y'all say it again. It says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free. In other words, right here it says, the Son, God, Jesus Christ, therefore, shall make you free. So it's going to happen. So if the Son, Jesus Christ, shall make you free, it says right here, ye shall be free. I don't think y'all getting this. Shall, expressing a strong assertion. Like Damon, you shall stop preaching. I will stop. I will. It shall happen. Expressing a strong assertion or intention, expressing the future tense. I shall stop preaching. A future tense. It's going to happen. You will have to. It must. Guys, when we go to God's word, his promises shall set us free. Why, guy? Why am I talking about this? Why on Sunday mornings do you hear us talking about God's word? Because it says in Hebrews 4:12, what does it say? For the word of God is alive. It's not dead. It's not stale. It doesn't smell like a funeral home or a morgue, right? Right? The word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. Going in, it cuts, and going out, it feels good. It relieves pressure, right? Like when you slam a fingernail in a door, boom, 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 it just throbs. What happens when you get a hot little pin and you just poke it? I'm just being gross this morning. And you just poke it on there. What happens? It hurts going in, but it feels good coming out, right? Because it relieves the pressure. And you can sleep at night. Don't let fear of letting God's word come in and do a little cutting. Don't let that fear stop you from experiencing the release. So many people are angry in life, angry at God, angry at their family, angry at the world. If you just let God's word in, he'll come in and fix all the problems internally. Guys, when we need salvation, God's word is there. What about others? Do others need salvation? Whenever we need personal revival, do you know someone that just needs to come alive? Others? Do you know other people that need revival? What about when we're confused about life issues? Do you know others that are confused about life issues? When we are distressed, do you know others that are distressed? Why is Pastor Damon saying others? Why every message that I preach and Mike preaches has to deal with you and others? Write this down as your last note, because listen, when we think about others, this is what it's about. We are obligated to help everyone reach salvation. That's why you will always hear us talking about others. Because I myself am obligated. How many times have I wanted to quit the ministry? How many times did I just want to give up because I'm not good enough and I can't do what I want to do, and you know, for God, and just give up and let's go? Why? Because others. Obligated to helping. Obligated. It's not a choice to care about others when you're a Christian. Y'all just fell asleep. I said it's not a choice to not care about others if you're a Christian. How can you accept salvation in Christ and not accept God's desire that none should perish? Do you possess that much power? Do we possess that much willpower to say, I'm going to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to go to heaven. I want to spend eternity with him and sing, Holy, Holy, or the Lord God Almighty all day long. But I have enough power within me to not share it with anybody. Obligated to help others reach salvation. And this is why, guys. So today, this is what I'm going to do. We're not going to have an altar call in the sense that you come up here and you spend time with God, although maybe some of you want to do that, but maybe others of you are just like ready because you know how quick First Baptist gets to Bev's and they'll just be y'all know, huh? Be like 4 hours, like 2 o'clock in the evening. Can I just get a fry? But what I'm getting at, guys, is my call to action today. In 2 weeks, we're going to be doing something in our community. We're going to be doing something for others. We're going to be whistling while we work. Can y'all do that? Whistle while you work. You like that, huh? I love it. Guys, listen. Two Saturdays from now, we are going to set up at a couple, maybe two, maybe four locations along the Santa Fe River. What are we doing, Pastor Damon? We're going to enjoy what God gave us. All these beautiful springs, all these rivers, all these people, thousands of people. This is what we're going to do in 2 weeks. On a Saturday, we're going to set up on May 6th, and where people enter the river with their kayaks and canoes. Do you know that it is a safety requirement that everyone who is in a moving vessel shall have a life preserver jacket and a whistle? A whistle. If you're from Mississippi, you just talk like this. Say harsh. So anyway, what I'm getting at, guys, is two Saturdays from now, yesterday, we're going to get together. We're going to put in at the boat ramp road, people will be getting in. We're going to be giving them whistles.